Before we turn to God's word, let's unite together in a word of prayer. Let's all pray. Our Heavenly Father and Eternal God, we give Thee thanks again that we're found in Thy presence in this Wednesday evening. We thank You, Lord, for bringing a goodly number together to hear Thy word and to pray over Thy word. And Father, we thank You, Lord, that we're found in this building, in this meeting place tonight. We thank You, Lord, it's a place where the body of Christ can come together in harmony. It's a place we can come together to prepare our hearts for Thy word. And Father, we do pray for the cleansing power of the Lord Jesus Christ to come upon each and every one of us tonight, and Lord, to wash us away from all our sin, to cleanse us afresh. And Father, will You please come in and meet afresh with us. And Lord, the old devil hates such a meeting, and Lord, we do pray You'll take the devil away, far away, and help us, Lord, to focus on Thy word, on Thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we bless You for the wonderful opportunity is given to us to come with the Bibles in our hands, to open the Word and to read it, to meditate upon it, and to preach it as thus and thus saith the Lord. And Lord, we do pray that this will be a wonderful night in Thy presence, and pray, Lord, we'll go home rejoicing. And Father, we thank You for salvation. We thank You, Lord, for that free gift that was given to us. Oh Lord, how we can never earn it, how we can never buy it for ourselves. We thank You, Lord, that the Lord Jesus Christ come all the way from glory and to become sin for us, shedding His precious blood on Calvary's hill, that we might be redeemed, that we might be regenerated, that we might be born again. And Father, we'll thank You for all these wonderful gifts that are given to Your people tonight. We'll thank You, Lord, the Word of God is now a living book. It can be opened up, we can read it and understand it. Your people, Lord, are no longer spiritually discerned. And Father, we come hungry tonight, hungry for Thy Word. And pray, Lord, You'll fill our souls and do us good. Bless Your people, Lord. There's ones not with us tonight. And pray, Lord, You'll be with them. Those, Lord, need a touch from Thyself. And pray, Lord, the great physician will come and meet them at every point of their need and bring them back to health and strength once again. Lord, help us now as we turn to Thy word, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament we're looking at tonight. 2 Chronicles. Not too sure how familiar you are with Chronicles, but if you look at chapter 1 of 2 Chronicles and scan down with your eyes through chapter 1, you'll see nothing but names and names. Chapter 2, chapter 3, and chapter 4. We come to chapter 4, and there's nothing, I'm sure there's thousands, certainly hundreds of different names, difficult names. And if you had a son or a daughter, you were looking for a name, you would start reading through Chronicles, and I wonder how many of these people are named today. Long names, difficult names, and we wonder in God's word, why are there so many names found in the book of Chronicles? But then, as we come to verse 9, the reading tonight is just going to be two verses, verses 9 and 10. And I'll ask you when you go home, if you want to, you can read the first four chapters. We often say, read before what comes, in order to get the context, but I'm not too sure if it's relevant in this portion. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Chronicles, sorry. 2nd. Did I? Sorry. I'm understanding your meditation tonight turned to 2 Chronicles, but this evening it's 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Sorry, I'm using the authorized version tonight, I forgot to say, for Lot's benefit again. 1 Chronicles, I may apologize, I was going all red, I was wondering what have I said or what have I done. I thought you were in 1 Corinthians, and I thought, is it my accent? But praise the Lord, it's not my accent, it's just my I don't know what you would call it. We're going to start reading 1 Chronicles chapter 4, in the verse 9. And Jabez was more honourable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, O that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Amen. We pray the Lord will indeed bless this short reading of His Word. Now, as we look at the Bible, in many parts, in many portions of God's Word, we will find that God did bless His people. Just for reference sake, for example, in Genesis 1, Genesis 9, verse 1, it says, "And God blessed Noah and his sons." Again in Genesis 22, "That in blessing I will bless thee." Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, "And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things." So from the youngest right to the oldest, God's people can indeed be blessed. We read also in Genesis 25, verse 11, "It came to pass after the death of Abraham," after the death, "God continued to bless," that God blessed his son Isaac, and then Jacob, and God blessed him there. So every generation, God has a people, God has a remnant, and God's people can be blessed. We read also number 6, moving on through Scripture, a beautiful portion. It says, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee." Then the Psalms, Psalm 67, says God, verse 1, "God be merciful unto us and bless us." So we ask the question tonight then, what does it mean to be blessed by the Lord? Or what does it mean to be blessed by God? Whenever Jabez, we'll call him Jabez, asked God to bless him, what was he asking for? He distinctly asked the question for God to bless him. What was he asking for? Was he asking God, like so many people today, for success, for prosperity, for health, for wealth? I don't think so. We don't read about that. And I suggest two things were involved in this prayer in which he wanted to be blessed. He was asking God, I believe, to do what he wanted in his life. He was saying, "Lord, you know me better than I know myself, and I want you to bless, in whatever way you can, my life." Jabez was doing more than just asking for a new car. People do that. They ask the Lord for a new car and expect it to happen. A new home, a new better job, a salary. I believe people today even ask God for a new wife. That would be wrong. There's many things we think we take for granted. We have to be sensible. But Jabez was in fact praying, "Lord, I know there are many wonderful things you can do with me, many wonderful things you can give me, but I don't want anything. All I want is for you to bless me. I'm asking for you, Lord, to do what you want in me, by me, through me, and by me." He was saying, "Lord," now this man, we're going to look at him, we're going to narrow in on Jabez. There was something wrong with Jabez, and he was still wanting to be used by God. And that's the sort of people God uses. To ask God to bless us is to ask the Lord to pour out His supernatural power in our life. Many of us today have got natural power, natural wealth, but something supernatural comes from God, not man. And this is what he was asking for. And many wonderful things God can do in the life of a believer. There are things He wants to do for us, what things He wants to do in us, things He wants to do through us, and things He wants to do with us. We often ask, why does God not use me? Why does God not do these things? Is it because we've never asked Him to do that? There are things He wants to use us, I believe. Whenever we pray and ask God to bless us, whenever we pray, "Lord, bless this food, bless my family, bless this church, bless whatever," what are we in fact saying to the Lord? I believe the Lord really does want to open, we can read about it, wants to open the windows of heaven and pour out His blessing upon the land, upon the people, upon the church, and upon individuals. But I often believe as God's people we have a responsibility to cry unto God, to ask the Lord. And I believe the Lord is waiting until we mean business with God in prayer. And He wants us to experience His supernatural working power. So to pray and to ask God to bless you is to ask the Lord to do what He wants to do, not what we want. May Thy will be done. Not only do we find Jabez asking, but I believe he also wants, he's allowing God to do what He wants. Many of us ask, but we don't allow. Isn't that true? We ask for things. Many people will say, "You can borrow my whatever," but you go asking for it and make all the excuses. "You can borrow my whippersnipper." "Oh, that's okay. Next week I'm going to come, can I buy your whippersnapper? Oh no, no, don't think I could lend you that. But you just said to me you could lend me it. And many of us come and we ask God to use us, but we're not allowing the Lord to really use our lives. Way back in the 1800s, I'm sure you've heard of D.L. Moody. He was in Ireland, in Dublin, and he heard this British evangelist by the name of Henry Varley, and he made one statement that changed his life. We often want to hear statements like that. And this man was preaching, and D.L. Moody was sitting there, and this man said these words: "The world is yet to see what God can do with and for and through and in a man who is fully and wholly consecrated to Him." And those words stuck with that young man, Dwight L. Moody. And as he crossed the Atlantic, he would say, all he could see in the boards of the deck of that ship were those words. Whenever he got off in Chicago, all he could see in the stepping stones and the pavement were those words. God can do. The world is yet to see what God can do with and for and through and in a man who is fully and wholly consecrated to Him. And then Moody said these words. He said to himself after hearing those words, by the grace of God, I will be that man. And he became one of the greatest evangelists that this world has ever known, preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ. What did he hear that night? What was it that the British preacher was saying? He was saying that God would bless the person that will allow him to be blessed. If we want to be blessed of God, if we want God to bless this church, if we want God to bless Kingston, we need to let God work. We need to really let the Lord. We need to pray for people. Pray for the sinners. Pray for the unsaved. And allow the Lord to do the working. And that's the difference, not man. In our Bibles, in this portion, we read, and we're going to think about this evening, about this specific prayer. And many people, I was really hearing a thing just yesterday and also today, about this prayer of Jabez. Somebody's been writing books about this and selling millions of copies. They're actually using this here as a model prayer. But you need to be very careful about that. I believe there's only one model prayer, and that's the Lord's Prayer. And also the Lord just teaches about vain repetition. Some people just read this and read it and read it and read it. But I believe it's here tonight for our encouragement, for us to learn from it, and also to grow from it. But whenever we think about this portion of Scripture tonight, it's a kind of prayer that I believe we should want to pray. Because you will find all of a sudden, as we say, that reading through chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, you find nothing but a big sea of names. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 1. Adam, Seth, Enos, Kenan, and all these words that don't have time to read because it's hard to pronounce some of these. And the next 9 chapters of 1 Chronicles is just a big flood of difficult names. Places to read. It's name after name after name. And I would advise you, if you come across a newborn babe in Christ, turn them to John's Gospel or Mark's Gospel, and probably not 1 Chronicles, because it'll go very, very cold very, very quickly. And it's not the most edifying of all material. But then about halfway through, reading chapter 4, verse 9 and verse 10, right in the middle of all these generations of the dead, is two little verses that just seem to jump out. They're like an oasis in the desert, if you like a little nugget of gold. And I believe it's worth digging through all these names and all these generations just to get to these two verses. And in fact, it was these two verses the Lord imprinted upon my heart before coming to Australia. So they're quite precious to me. But I want to notice just 3 things briefly. First of all, how exceptional was the life of Jabez? How exceptional was his life? The first thing it says in verse 9 about Jabez is that Jabez was more honourable than his brethren or than his brothers. The first thing that is brought to our attention about him, he was not just your average person. Something was special about this man. Something was exceptional about Jabez, because it says he was more honourable than his brethren. It was, if you like, standing head and shoulders above him. I came across this survey about church attendance, and it says 10% of church members cannot be found, 20% never attend church, 25% admit they never pray, 35% admit they never read the Bible, 40% admit they never contribute to the church, 70% never assume responsibility, 85% never invite anyone to church, and 95% never win anyone to Christ. And I thought about that. It made me think, is not reflective of your average Christian? But Jabez never fell among the average person. He was above average because he meant business with God. And so many people are content to just live their Christian life. How refreshing it is to come to God's Word and find someone who's willing to rise above the ordinary. His relationship with God is important. It's special. And he pleads with God to use him and to bless him. He wanted more than just your average run-of-the-mill. In your Christian life, are you happy to go with the flow? Are you happy just to be a Christian? Or is God special to you tonight? Does the Lord Jesus mean something for you? William Carey once said, attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. There's no point in attempting something for the Lord if you don't expect something. The Lord gives us faith to believe. We should have the faith to expect the Lord to work as well. Jabez's desires were not average. What he wanted from God rose above the normal. He wanted great things from God, and he also expected great things from God by just reading these two verses. And we also see that he got great things from God. What does it say at the end? And God granted him that which he requested. I would ask you the question, three questions. In life, in the Christian life, where do you want to go? What do you expect from God? And what would you like to see God do in your life? We always are always quoting people in the 17, the 18. I was just reading a book on church history today, scanning through it. Church history, the 1600s, the 17, the 18, the 19, the 20. Who's God using today? It's the same God. And sinners are just the same, or maybe far worse today. God needs evangelists and preachers, individual believers, to take the message to the people. Who is our children going to read about? Who's going to take the message to them? C.S. Lewis said, Our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but often too weak. Why? Because we're far too easily pleased, far too easily pleased. Whenever somebody preaches something, we don't agree with it, it doesn't matter. Whenever somebody sings something that's not even theologically sound, it's just a song. That would have bothered people years ago because they were strong in their faith. They knew the difference between right and wrong. When all this apostasy was creeping in, people stood up and cried out against it. Now the whole church is embracing it. Something's wrong. We're far too easily pleased. Jabez was different. Jabez was not just your average Christian. And for those individuals who are willing to stand up amongst their own people, stand up amongst their families. I know men who have told me they will not come out of places they should be because of their children and grandchildren, because they're not willing to stand up and be counted. Jabez didn't care what his brethren thought. He'd done what God wanted him to do. He was more honourable than his brethren. He was more honourable in how he walked and what he wanted. But how about you this evening? You like the brethren? Are you more honourable than your brethren? Or can I paraphrase it? Are you more like the world? Or are you more like Christ? Are you a true Christian? Like Christ? Are the people out there not really know the difference? But I believe they should know the difference by the way we talk and the way we talk. Jabez meant business with God. If you like, he took the Christian life seriously. Every day counted for him. How exceptional was his name? And also, secondly, how extreme was his name? Why do we say that? How extreme was his name? Well, the second thing we say about Jabez is that his mother, if you notice there in verse 9, Jabez saying, because I bear him with sorrow, which teaches us there's something about the name of Jabez. Jabez was an extreme and strange name for his mother to give him. This name, Jabez, literally means pain. The Bible says that his mother named Jabez because she bore him in sorrow. Whether it was while she was carrying him inside the womb, or giving birth, or whether raising him as a little infant, we don't know. But the fact is, she called him Jabez because she bore him with sorrow. Why do we We do not know about his name. It means pain. Many theories have been given for his name, such as he maybe was not wanted. He was maybe a child, and his mother was maybe grieved at the thought of having a child. Maybe she faced some unusual hardship, some unusual poverty. Some speculate that maybe his brothers had stolen his inheritance. Possibly there was a physical disorder, physical problem. I heard a man preaching one time, and I think he thought or assumed maybe the child was dropped whenever it was young, just as an infant. Maybe there's a difficulty at birth. Maybe the child was born disabled. We don't know, but there was some problem here. So we could say we have a young man with a disability, a baby who's now growing up. We can only speculate. But something about Jabez, he has a disability. So if you like, humanly speaking, he has a disadvantage with all his brethren. A disadvantage. Now most of us, if we're disadvantaged, we give up. We make an excuse. If we can't walk, oh, I can't walk there because I've got a sore leg. We stop reading because our eyesight's poor. We easily give up. But from looking at Jabez, he did not let his problems defeat him. And that's such a great encouragement. His brothers, his family, his problems did not defeat him. He did not let the cause behind his name keep him down. He refused to allow his handicap to chain him to just an ordinary life. He wanted something more. He wanted the extraordinary that God was going to give him. He didn't raise the white flag and say he was doomed to a defeated life. Whatever the cause behind his name, he faced it head on. And he never backed down. He took the challenge. He was born with a disability. And somebody might have said this, but I think I made it up myself. A lovely quotation. He made his disability into God's ability. Isn't that good? And I often wonder if that was what was meant to happen with Jabez. What must God disable us with to use us? What must God do? Take away from us. Make weak, that we might be strong. For the cause of Christ. And tonight, most of you have got children, and while you're raising your children, I wonder, while you're looking after your families, are you losing out as a child of God? And there's so many ways we can lose out in the Christian life. So many ways, natural things they may be, but so easily we'll lose out in the prime years of learning to grow in the Lord. We need to learn from Jabez. Think of yourself. People say you shouldn't be selfish. But I believe when it comes to the Christian life, we ought to be selfish. We need to be selfish. Think of yourself, your life, your health, and your relationship with God. So often we try to mend a relationship with our friends and our family, spending years doing it. And the whole time we're hurting, trying to get through with God. Work on your relationship with God first and foremost. You spend all your life trying to mend up a relationship with fellow man, fellow families. Work on your relationship with God. How often we let the problems of life defeat us instead of using in the stepping stones to get on with life. So many people put them as a loose around their neck, but not Jabez. He did not let his problems defeat him, nor did he let his problems deter him. How easy today we're put off. Somebody sneezes on us and we're disgusted. We never want to talk to that person again. So easily were put off. But Jabez never let his problems deter him. Jabez could have looked at his problems and said, there is no way I can be anything, do anything, or get anything special from God. I must ask him. And he asked the Lord to bless him. That's what he said. He could have let the problem deter him, but he did not. He sought great things from God, and the Bible answers it very quickly and says he got because God granted his very petition. You've all heard of a handle, not the door handle. My wife said, it's George Handel, George Frederick. Those of you who like romantic classical music that I know nothing about. Anyway, this man was a great musician. I was going to say physician, but musician. He played music. But this man lost his health, and he lost eventually his eyesight. His right side was paralyzed. His money was all gone. His creditors seized and threatened to imprison him. This great musician, Handel, was so disheartened by this tragic experience that he almost despaired for a brief time. But his faith prevailed, because you know what happened? He then composed his greatest work, the Hallelujah Chorus. You all familiar with that one? Because I'm not too familiar with it. And this became part of the great Messiah. And this was called the Hallelujah Chorus, the greatest work he'd ever done. And I thought to myself, we can lose many things in life, but if you're truly a child of God, you'll never lose your faith. And I take great comfort in that. Job was probably one of the best examples. Job had everything. He had 10 children. He had I don't know how many camels. He had a farm and all these things. In the space of one day, he lost his family. He lost his friends. He lost his farm. But he said these lovely words, I know my Redeemer liveth. He never lost his faith. What a great illustration of those Old Testament prophets and Old Testament men of God. And I wonder tonight, if your faith is not strong, what must the Lord do to bring us back to himself? What must he do? What must he do to make us weak in order to see the Lord Jesus in our lives? And my friends, tonight, if you learn anything else, take stock of where you're at with God and make sure you're in a good, strong relationship with God. How exceptional was his life? How extreme was his name? But thirdly, I'm going to say this, you have to be worried sometimes. Other people use words and we can't use them any longer, but I thought the third point was, how exciting is his prayer? And some people think when you use that word exciting, you're going to get dangerous. But it's a lovely word. And sometimes I get excited whenever I'm playing with little kids. Sometimes Tim's little children, they get all excited and I start losing a lot of sweat, especially when they're jumping up and down in my stomach. They think it's a trampoline. And you get all excited with these little kids. But how exciting is his prayer? Look what he says. The next thing it says about Jabez in verse 10, he called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, thou wouldest keep me from evil, and it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. A beautiful verse of scripture. A couple of things about this prayer, because this prayer of Jabez is one of those prayers that seems to ignite a fire in your heart. Certainly done that for me. It's one of those prayers that seems to jump out and just and say, look at me. Look what God has done for me. This is Jabez. Look what God has done for me. I'm just an old disabled man, and I've asked the Lord for something, and he's done it for me. Jabez prayed intelligently. He knew that God had made a covenant with Israel and would keep that covenant. He prayed earnestly. He prays with a passion. He prays definitely. He knew what he wanted, and he asked for those things. He prayed effectively, and he got what he wanted for. He got what he asked for. And tonight, whenever we come to pray, we should know what we want to pray for. If God puts someone upon your heart, pray for them. God puts something upon your heart, pray for that matter. It's not so much how he prayed as to what he prayed that he wanted to see. Quite often we don't pray because of how we might pray. Don't worry about how you might pray. The Lord Jesus perfects our very words before they reach heaven. That's a wonderful thing, how the Lord Jesus mediates on our behalf. Don't worry about how you sound. It's what you say that matters. And there's four things here I'm just going to that he prayed for in this verse. He prayed that God would bless him indeed. He prayed that God would enlarge his coast. He prayed that the hand of God would be upon him and that God would keep him from evil. Four simple things. He was not timid in his asking. He was not restrained in his petitions. He comes boldly to the throne of grace and presents God with these requests, exciting as they are. And I believe that God wants us to do, to come in the same fashion, to come with boldness unto the throne of grace. Paul was a great apostle. Paul was a great preacher. And Paul was bold. Bold whenever he meant business with God. He certainly was not timid. And I don't care if you're timid in life. Don't be timid when it comes to prayer. Be bold when it comes to calling upon the name of the Lord. Someone says, our God has boundless resources. The only limit is in us. Our asking, our thinking, our praying is too small, and our expectations are too limited. Our expectations are too limited. Someone said, there's going to be a revival in Kingston. Oh, that could never happen. Is that what we'd say? God's going to change Tasmania. Oh, he can never do that. Is that what we say? Because the Lord's done it before. The last thing, here it was an answered prayer. The last thing is that Jabez, it says about Jabez, God granted him what he requested. Jabez got what he asked for. God blessed him indeed. He enlarged his coast, and his hand was upon Jabez. It's a lovely thought. Some of you have already begun, I'm sure, meditating upon these words. Four things. Lord, I want you to bless me indeed. Just before we came to Australia, the Lord gave me this very verse, the prayer of Jabez. And whenever we come to Australia, we're just going to be in a little place called Lock, near Peninsula in South Australia. And the Lord gave me this verse, Lord, I want you to bless me indeed. I want you to enlarge my coast. And just looking back, the Lord has enabled us to go to every major city and state in Australia to speak to children in schools, enlarging their coast. I want your hand to be upon me. God's hand has been upon us. And we could have easily got caught up with evil, but the Lord has also kept us from evil. Do you ever pray that for your children, Lord? Keep our children from evil. Someone has said that each of us, and each of us are three persons. There's the persons we are right now. There's the person we could be for evil if we will let Satan run our lives. Or there is the person we could be for God if we allowed God to rule our lives. Whenever I talk about you making the prayer of Jabez a part of your life, I'm not talking about you reading this every morning and memorizing it. I'm talking about the lessons we can learn here. We can learn from Jabez. What do you want to get from God? Jeremiah 33, we have a responsibility. And the verse 3 says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I wonder tonight, would you not agree with me that God is offering to bless his people if we will come and ask him to bless us? I want to finish with an illustration. It's about a transcript, about a radio signal between Canada and America. The Canadians were in the middle of the sea, and the big Americans were coming in their big ship, big Navy ship, and the Canadians sent out a signal, please divert your course 15 degrees to the north in order to avoid a collision. And the American ship sent a message back, recommend you divert your course 15 degrees to the north in order to avoid a collision. The Canadians wrote back, negative, you will have to divert your course 15 degrees to the north to avoid a collision. The Americans, getting tough now. He said, this is the captain of a U.S. Navy ship. We are the Americans. I say again, divert your course. The Canadians, I say again, you divert your course. The Americans, we're getting cross. This is the aircraft carrier USS Lincoln, the second largest ship in the United States Atlantic Fleet. We are accompanied by three destroyers, three cruisers, and numerous support vessels. I demand that you alter your course 15 degrees north. I say again, that's 15 degrees north. Our countermeasures will be undertaken to ensure the safety of this ship. Canadians, this is a lighthouse. It's your call. You all wonder who was going to fight, didn't you? Glad you liked that one. That was a good one. And it made me think when I saw that illustration, this is a lighthouse, it's your call. And I believe God wants to use his people. But we have a responsibility to ask the Lord to use us. It's my call, and it's your call. You're the one that has got to make the move, the change, do whatever it takes. We can be like Jonah and run. We need to ask God to bless us, then allow God to bless you. We need to submit our lives fully for the Lord to use us. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, enlarge my coast, and thine hand might be with me, thou wouldst keep me from evil, and may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Just a few thoughts from the prayer of Jabez. Amen. Let's just pray for a moment. Our Father in heaven, we give thee thanks tonight. We can look at thy word. We pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, you'll write thy word indelibly upon our hearts. Help us, Lord, to learn from this man who was maybe disabled, yet he pleaded for the Lord to bless him. And Father, you didn't just that. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just before we get down to prayer, is there anything else, someone we need to pray about? We've got to ask for petitions. There's a happy man. He's got the Lord's answered prayer. A thankful man, that's right. Yeah, we thank the Lord for watching over Mrs. Van Driesen. I went in to see him Sunday, and she was like a chirping bird, and the Lord has certainly brought her back. Pray that we do miss her. She's normally sitting in the front. Pray the Lord will speed her recovery and bring her back again with us. That's true. Also, right, that's Mark's hand. Remember Mark's hand as we pray. Also, Tim's a bit under the weather. You all recall I mentioned on Sunday that Krista had a little baby. And if you all look at Krista, he looks a bit miserable. But Krista's been in the hospital with the newborn baby since Sunday. So Tim has been looking after the children Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And tomorrow Krista comes home. So he's a happy man that his wife's going to come home and look after the children again. So we did pray for Krista. It's a bouncing, healthy baby boy, Isaac Oliver. And we thank the Lord for answered prayer there again.